This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome to the Hockey News Podcast. Today is a special playoff preview edition where we're going to talk all things first round NHL playoffs. I'm Ian Dennehy, joined by Ryan Kennedy, and on the phone, Ken Campbell, and fresh off vacation, Matt Larkin. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Great to be here, guys. First time caller, long time listener, so really happy to be here. Feeling good, feeling refreshed, baby.
All right, bonus. So here's how this is going to work. We're going to go through series by series. We're going to devote no more than 5 minutes to each series. So let's get started. We will start in the West, since those are probably the slightly more interesting series, I think. So let's start with the St. Louis Blues versus Chicago Blackhawks. Do you guys think Chicago can find its playoff magic again, or is this the year the Blues finally make a run?
I think the Blues are going to win this year. I picked them to make the conference final, and I know that that probably won't be a popular pick, and a lot of people will think I'm crazy, but I just like the way the Blues played this season, and they faced a ton of adversity. Like, I don't know if they ever had their full lineup from game one to game 82 this year. They might have had it a couple of times, but they overcame a ton of injuries to, like, really, really key players, and they still persevered and were a really good team all year. I think, you know, they're built to play the playoffs. Like, they had four shutouts in a row at one point this year, gave up one goal in five games. That's the kind of hockey that wins in the playoffs. And I also think, I'm just looking here, the Chicago Blackhawks in the last 3 years have played 65 playoff games. That's almost a whole extra season that they've played in the playoffs in the last 3 years. And I just think it's going to catch up to them. I just think it's really difficult to play 1 or 2 years long playoff runs in a row, but they've had three of them, and I just think it's just going to catch up to them.
Yeah, it's interesting, Ken.
It makes a ton of sense. The Blues are a better team on paper. They're a deeper team. Everything about them suggests they should win, but I still can't bring myself to pick them, and the reason is intangible. They just seem to have a mental block, and yes, they've looked great this year, but we say that about them every year. I do expect when the chips are down, Chicago's going to find its playoff game, and I do worry about goaltending for St. Louis. I mean, whether it's Brian Elliott or Jake Allen, I think it's going to be Brian Elliott, but Elliott, I mean, I was talking about this on a previous podcast, his save percentage for the career in the playoffs is under 900. I still worry about his ability to deliver when the games really matter. So I lean to Chicago.
You know, I'm with Ken on this one. It's funny you talked about the injuries, and I saw a stat from St. Louis Blues beat writer Jeremy Rutherford on Twitter that they've had like their solid, you know, top nine together only six times this year, but they're undefeated when all their guys are healthy. So small sample size for sure, but you know, when these St. Louis Blues are going full throttle, they're quite good. I'd also point out, you know, St. Louis has better possession numbers than Chicago this year, and I mean that's one of the reasons the Blackhawks have been so successful in the playoffs in the past, is they've been that dominant possession team. This is not that kind of squad this year for whatever reason. You know, the years of having to live dangerously close to the cap, it seems, have finally caught up. And it's a minor thing, but Duncan Keith's not going to be there for game one. So you're losing a guy that in the playoffs is probably going to give you 28 minutes, maybe even 30 a night.
It's funny, you know, everything logical says the Blues should win. And if I was a robot, if you just took all of the statistical information about every team, about both teams, and just fed them into me like I was a machine, I would spit out, bleep, blurp, blurp, St. Louis Blues win. Everything logical dictates they should win, yet I still can't bring myself to pick them.
And I just really think, too, that the depth that St. Louis has, particularly up front, is way better than the depth Chicago has up front. I like their third and fourth lines a lot, like a lot better than I like Chicago's third and fourth lines. Mm-hmm.
right, we had time to spare there, but we'll move on to the Dallas Stars versus Minnesota Wild. So Dallas was a scoring and Corsi darling in the regular season. But is that enough to go on a run, or can Minnesota pull off another upset?
I feel this one will be like an even quicker conversation. I know Dallas may not be the most complete team, but again, going back to possession numbers, they're one of the best in the NHL, and that Minnesota squad is just really mediocre in like every sense of the word to me. And with Zach Parise injured, you know, that's one of their best players out of the lineup. I don't see much of a path to victory for Minnesota at this point. I don't necessarily know if Dallas is going to make a long run in the playoffs, but I feel like this will be a pretty short series in favor of the Stars, even if their goaltending isn't necessarily playoff caliber for the long term. I think they can at least outscore Minnesota enough to get them into the second round.
Yeah, see, Ryan, I don't think Dallas is going to go on a long run at all. I don't really, neither of these teams does much for me. I don't think Dallas is going to go on a long run, but I think they've got enough firepower and they've got enough talent to get past the first round in fairly decent fashion here. The one wild card is goaltending. I mean, if Devin Dubnyk plays out of his mind and Dallas's goalies play the way they play, you know, that might be enough of a difference maker right there. But I just don't like Dallas. I just don't like the way they play the game. I think they give up way too many chances, and I think ultimately in the playoffs you can't win playing that kind of hockey, unfortunately, because I love watching it, but I just don't think you can win with it. So, but I think Dallas is gonna. I think Dallas should be able to get past the first round.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Ken. I think Dallas, they do give up a lot of chances, and while they do rank high in possession, it's really skewed because they're just so dominant in generating chances that it sort of masks how many chances they allow. So I do think that they are vulnerable, especially in the long run, but Minnesota's not going to be the team that really knocks them down, because Minnesota also is a weak possession team. They're one of the weakest teams, especially in generating chances of their own. I do expect the Wild to steal maybe a game, maybe even two games, because goaltending, I think they have a very distinct advantage. Devin Dubnyk over Antti Niemi or Kari Lehtinen, very clear edge to Minnesota there.
Oh, please, God, stop it.
That's the theme, and we're sticking with it.
Patrick Kane and John Dave scoring and Brian Elliott over and over.
Well, then you got to play Chelsea Dagger. Start singing Chelsea Dagger.
Yeah. Do it now.
All right, don't make me buzz you again. Okay. Anaheim Ducks versus Nashville Predators. You know, Nashville, despite being in the Central Division, you know, they had to settle for a wild card spot. But these are two top five Corsi teams, pretty evenly matched. What's the difference in this series?
I just think that the Ducks are the team that's built for the playoffs. They're a big, strong team that can create offense. They don't have any real discernible weaknesses, even in goal now. I just think that the Ducks, this is their year to win it, and I think I actually think they're going to make the Stanley Cup final. And I just think that in every area they're just probably a little bit better, or marginally better than the Predators in pretty well every area, and they can score goals. You have them down 2-0 going into the third period. That doesn't mean diddly. They can come back and win those games. So I don't know. I just think Anaheim's, just they're stacked, they're loaded, they're built, and they have players there who have played in so many big games before and won before that I think they can. I think they can get past this series, and I don't even necessarily think it's going to be that close. But I'm sure that you guys think it's probably going to be a lot closer.
Well, it's funny. I feel kind of bad for Nashville too, because I would have liked them as a sleeper. I still think they have one of the deepest, best blue lines in the NHL. The fact that they could trade Seth Jones is a testament to that. They can play Roman Josi and Shea Weber for half a game, but at the same time, they just got bad luck here. Anaheim's a bad matchup, especially because of the depth at forward. You know, Nashville, if you go down to Nashville's third line, you might get guys like Mika Salamaki playing, forced into that role on any given night, whereas Anaheim's got arguably the best third line in the NHL with Ryan Kessler centering, Jacob Silver and Andrew Cogliano. That line is just dominant. I think it's going to be very important in the playoffs. And the Ducks are my Stanley Cup pick, and I do think Ryan Kessler is a sleeper to win the Conn Smythe because of his two-way ability, that shutdown role. And even if you go to the top of the depth chart, you know, you have a Ryan Johansson, who is that big Western Conference center that Nashville coveted, but at this stage of his career, in a do-or-die game, if you match him up against Ryan Getzlaf, there's no contest there.
No, yeah, absolutely not. He's going to eat him for lunch.
Yeah, I'm taking Anaheim in this series, but a little part of me is just kind of worried that, you know, that, I mean, the reason the playoffs are so fascinating is something always happens that you don't expect, and they're dead even when it comes to possession numbers. And, you know, Pekka Rinne, you know, he's had his struggles this year, that's for sure, but we all know what he's capable of. And as you mentioned, Matt, you know, Shea Weber leads a very impressive decor. There's just like a little tiny part of me, like maybe 3% or 8%, that says, like, what if Nashville, like, stands up to the Ducks? Like, what if Anaheim goes cold like they were at the beginning of the season? Like, the Predators, I don't know, like, they can grind on you, and they're, you know, they've got some heavy guys on that team. I'm not saying that it's, like, probable by any stretch of the imagination, but there's the potential there for the upset, and if it happens, I will be, like, shocked, but at the same time, I'll think, like, well, that's Murphy's Law. Like, the year that we thought the Ducks were going to go all the way, Nashville trips them up in the first round.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Well, it's not happening, but I can see it going six games, and to me, Pekka Rinne, I'm glad you mentioned Rinne there, Ryan, because Rinne, to me, is the wild card. He's a guy that I don't know what to think of him anymore. Is he overrated now? He's a guy that we did it for our magazine, the THN magazine. We had a goalie poll, talked to dozens of former NHL goaltenders, and had them rate goalies in every category. And Rinne was ranked second behind Carey Price overall. And he's beloved by the goaltending community. He's so athletic, he's so big, that the numbers don't seem to be there anymore. I don't know what to think of him anymore. I'm really torn about Rinne for the rest of his career.
All right, we'll move on, but I'll spare you the horn, at least until we get the proper product placement.
There you go.
The company that sent us the horn, you know who you are, sponsor the podcast, and we'll never stop ringing that thing.
All horn podcast.
That's right.
Just 28 minutes of horn.
Come on, bud.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Ken went there. He said it. Okay, Los Angeles Kings versus San Jose Sharks. Is the winner of this series an instant Stanley Cup favorite, and will this be the best series of the first round?
Yes and yes. I'm staying up for this one. Like I don't care if I have to stay till 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm staying up for all these games and
the Red Hot series.
Yeah, exactly. Like last year, I thought the best series of the entire playoffs was Anaheim and Winnipeg in the first round. It went four straight, but it was way closer than anybody, than the score indicated. And it was just phenomenal. Like, it was smash mouth, slugfest, without stupidness, just a really physical, you know, series between two teams that were just digging in, and it was awesome to watch. And I think that that's what this series is going to be. I would suspect the Kings are going to win. I don't know that for sure, but I think that I think it's by far going to be the most compelling series. It's going to be the best series. It's going to be the most even series, and I think it's going to be the one that's most fun to watch.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at, you know, those unfortunate matchups as we talk about, San Jose has done, you know, a lot of good things this year. They've got some fantastic performances from guys like Brent Burns and Joe Thornton. But there's that old nemesis, LA, and they got to play them in the first round because they're in the same division. And I think if you talk to the Sharks, well, I have talked to the Sharks, and they're up for the challenge. They want to be the best, and that means beating the best teams. But it is kind of a shame that this is a first-round matchup when it could easily be a conference final matchup and the hockey would be just as compelling. Unfortunately, that's the way things are going to work, is that, you know, one of these teams is going to go home in the first round. I would give a slight edge to the Kings. I think it's probably going to go seven games. And, again, I just base it off possession. I don't think there's any sort of voodoo surrounding the Sharks right now. I think they're just a very good team that happens to be in a very good division. But if we go by those gospel possession numbers, the Kings should take this one. And for me, I think the Kings will win the Cup this year.
Yeah, and I think it's really tight. But the one, I think, one area where they have it over seriously on them is goaltending. I think, you know, I mean, yeah, you're going into a playoff series. Who would you rather have, Jonathan Quick or Martin Jones?
Yeah, Jonathan Quick or anybody.
Yeah, Reimer, don't forget about James Reimer, the way he's played, he might. I mean, I would suspect that if Martin Jones trips up, that Reimer will be in there pretty quickly, which I think might actually end up being the whole wild card in this thing and the thing that decides it. I can't wait for this series to start. I think it's going to be awesome.
But when I'm picturing like a game seven double overtime. They're just so evenly matched. They remind me of each other, these teams. They're big, they're strong. You've got the amazing two-way center, MVP caliber player, Thornton, matching up with Kopitar. You've got the great defense pairings either way, all-around guy, Brent Burns, Drew Doughty. Brent Burns paired with Martin, Doughty usually with Muzzin, dynamite defense pairing. And they're both deep teams at forward. They both got good shooters like Joe Pavelski, good goal scorer, Jeff Carter, good goal scorer, Tyler Toffoli. It's so close, but I agree. You have to go with goaltending as the razor-thin difference maker in that series.
Can you believe that neither of these teams made the playoffs last year? That's wild, isn't it? it's going to be great.
Okay, let's move on to the Eastern Conference then. We'll start with the Florida Panthers versus New York Islanders. Not quite as sexy as King Sharks, but are the Panthers for real, or do the Islanders finally get over the hump and win a playoff series?
Well, I don't think the series is... Oh, go ahead, Matt.
Oh, sorry about that. The phone, everybody. You gotta get, it's like trying to know when to jump in at recess and jump rope. People are skipping.
Why were you playing jump rope?
Exactly like that. I know. I set my
jump rope. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You didn't play hard enough for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
But the Panthers, to me, it's not about whether they're for real per se, because they have such an easy path in the Atlantic. Tampa Bay, to me, is the only real threat. Tampa Bay is significant weekend. So I think the Panthers, I expect them to have a pretty easy time with the Islanders. Panthers are way better in goaltending with Luongo. They've got the Clydesdale in defense and Aaron Ekblad. The first line is playing so well. Sasha Barkov, Jagr, Jonathan Huberdeau. Hurts to lose Vince Trocheck, but you can just move Nick Bjugstad up into that number two center spot. Deep team. And the Islanders, I don't know. They didn't impress me much down the stretch. They seem to be going through the motions. They're very inconsistent. To me, I think Panthers could win this series in maybe even five games.
I gotta take the big disagree on that one. I picked the Islanders to make the conference final, and the only reason why is because I think they were brilliant. I think they lost on purpose on Sunday to finish seventh. Now they get to go through the Atlantic Division for the first two rounds rather than their own division, which is way more difficult. There's only 3 points separating these two teams. It's not like it's going to be a huge upset if the Islanders win this thing. They finished with 100 points this year. You know, in a tougher division than Florida, and Florida finished with 103. And I just think that this series is one where I like Florida, and I like what they've done this year, but I just can't help but think that, first of all, they have a lot of guys who are going to go into their first playoff game, and they have no idea what they're getting into at this point. You know, they've never experienced it before. So I worry about their experience level. And I know they have guys there that have been there before and can tell them, but I think the playoffs is something that you can't figure it out until you see it and experience it and go through it. And I think that they have too many guys like that, and I just wonder if Florida isn't in the back of their mind saying, wow, we're kind of playing with house money this year. We did way better than anybody ever thought we were going to do. You know, a lot of people would have picked us to probably miss the playoffs. Here we are. You know, we've accomplished what we need to accomplish this year, and maybe there's a bit of a let up.
For me, it just comes down to, would you rather have Thomas Greiss in net or Roberto Luongo? And I know the answer there. I think there's a lot of things that break Florida's way. Not only Luongo, but the experience and the leadership of Jaromir Jagr. It's funny you mentioned the Islanders maybe losing on purpose. I think that works against them, because that's bulletin board material if I've ever heard it, if you're the Panthers. these guys wanted to play us? Well, we'll show them what it's like to play us. Something else that's kind of interesting is this series has a really weird schedule because apparently the Barclays Center, hockey mecca that it is, has boxing like 3 out of 4 nights at some point. And so there's like a weird gap. And I mean, that arena, as nice as it may be, it's not for hockey. I don't think it's going to be much of an atmosphere for the Islanders. Whereas with Florida, I know the Panthers, you know, traditionally don't draw very well, but I think all the sort of good vibes and the momentum they have, the whole Kevin Spacey thing, I think it's going to be a lot more rocking in Florida than it's going to be in Brooklyn. And it's just all these things culminating, and the fact that, you know, the Islanders, they just kind of feel like they're there this year. Their young kids didn't step up. You know, Tavares had his worst season since he was a sophomore. It just seems icky. That's my word right now. They seem like they're in an icky spot. And no Travis Hamonic for the first game.
Because the Islanders seem icky.
Yeah.
And you're talking about bulletin board material. Didn't Vinny Viola say he wanted to play the Islanders?
Did he?
At one point? Yeah, I think he did. I think he said he preferred to play against the Islanders in the first round. So they can use that on their bulletin board, too. So the perfect bulletin board material cancels out.
We're going to have a run on thumbtacks.
I think the Brooklyn fans, well, quote unquote fans, they should they got to counteract the rats. So I'm thinking maybe they should throw vinyl records on the ice.
Ah,
fair trade coffee cups,
artisanal mustaches. Let's find some more cliches.
Okay, let's move on. Actually, Tampa Bay Lightning versus Detroit Red Wings. For the previews, we're posting on THN.com. We took a poll of the staff to vote on each series. This was the closest one. It was a 5-4 vote. I won't say who won it. You have to go to THN.com to find out. That's THN.com. THN.com.
Number one in your hearts.
But to you guys, do the Tampa Bay Lightning have a chance without Stamkos and Stralman, for that matter? Or is Detroit, like the Islanders, just kind of there?
Detroit's the worst team in the playoffs. I don't think there's any question about that. They are the worst of the 16 teams in the playoffs. I watched them play quite a lot and quite a bit down the stretch. And they're just terrible. They're not terrible, but they're so inconsistent. And they can look so bad sometimes. And they just do a bunch of things that are so un-Detroit Red Wing-like. Like, their puck management sometimes is bafflingly bad. You know, I mean, their goaltending's been a little bit, you know, they've had some hiccups down the stretch. Lost both their last games. You know, I don't feel anything, like there's nothing good that I feel about the Detroit Red Wings, except I think they're going to beat Tampa Bay. because of the key injuries that Tampa Bay has. We don't, you know, we know Stamkos is out. We know Strom is out. Arguably, their most important forward and their most important defenseman are out. Not their most important defenseman, but good, you know, playoff defenseman. Well, I'm not sure if Hedman's 100%. You know, Tyler Johnson's a bit up in the air. I just think the Lightning are kind of, you know, running on fumes here, and I think it's going to catch up to them.
For me, this is like, I just watched that Andy Samberg HBO tennis movie, 7 Days in Hell, the other night, and the whole joke is like he plays like an Andre Agassi guy, and then Jon Snow from Game of Thrones plays like a dullard English guy. And this series to me is like that. The whole joke of that movie is that they have a tennis match that lasts 7 days, and by the end they just like they don't even care anymore. They just want it to end. I feel like that's this series already, where like Tampa's so banged up, Detroit is so like, you know, they're just in like some sort of perilous funk that they're just gonna like crawl towards each other on the ice. And I mean, maybe it'll be compelling hockey. Like maybe the triplets will all of a sudden like resurrect, and you know, Datsyuk and Zetterberg will have like one more great go a la the Blues Brothers. But I just feel not the Blues Brothers in like the 2000s, but the actual original movie.
Okay. they're getting the band back together.
Yeah, they're getting the band back together. They're not bringing in John Goodman or
the... They're on a mission from God.
Yeah, they're on a mission from God. The idiot brother's not in this one. I think if Tampa can survive the injuries they have, they should win this series. But I think it's probably going to go seven just because of all, you know, the injuries and the malaise.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's going to win this series, but I think whoever wins, it's going to lose in the second round.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's fair, unless Tampa Bay advances and starts to get healthy in time. But both injuries are pretty serious with Stallman and Stamkos. So, to me, it's going to go seven. Tampa Bay in seven. It would have been Tampa Bay in four or five. It would have been a steamrolling if Tampa Bay was healthy. I think the playing field is a bit more level now. But Detroit goaltending has been a nightmare this year. Peter Mrazek looked like a Vezina candidate in January. He fell apart down the stretch. One night, Jimmy Howard gets a shutout. The next night, he's getting yanked. Ben Bishop gives Tampa Bay a huge advantage. And I still think, even without Stamkos, Tampa's forward core is still pretty deep. And Detroit, I worry as well, because you have Gatsby and Zetterberg. But even Dylan Larkin, who, for the first half of the season, was so crucial to their success.
Yeah.
And looks like a franchise guy. He will be. I mean, his future is extremely bright.
Yeah.
But he's already played more than double his career high of games that he ever played with Michigan in the NCAA, and I think he just really tied down the stretch. I don't think he's been the same player. I think he took a lot of abuse because Detroit's a team that they don't play a really tough brand of hockey. They don't stick up for their teammates as well as certain teams have the ability to do. I just remember seeing so many highlights of Dylan Larkin getting cranked this year. I think it's taking some mileage on his body. So to me, the Wings, it's almost like just extending the streak. That was their Stanley Cup this year. They made it in. They crawled over that finish line, but they have nothing left now.
So we agree the Atlantic division isn't sexy, but it's actually pretty interesting just because it's so wide open. So moving on to the Metro division, Pittsburgh Penguins versus New York Rangers. Is Pittsburgh as good as their record has been down the stretch, or do the Rangers have one more kind of Stanley Cup run in them?
I'm going with Pittsburgh in this series. I think that just the way they played down the stretch, 8-2 and 0 in their last 10, and just that ridiculous run they went on. I think this one, more than any other series, just comes down to an I'm-feeling-whatever team sort of series, and I'm just feeling that the Penguins are going to get through here, and they're going to, they're going to keep going. No Malkin for the first round, and maybe even the second round, probably even the second round. They've just been terrific, and I think a big part of the reason for that is their two best players other than Malkin, Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang, have both been playing otherworldly. I think they realize that they have to deliver here, and they continue to do that. So obviously goaltending, even with Marc-Andre Fleury or Matt Murray. In Pittsburgh, there's still a big edge in goaltending for the Rangers. Unless there have been times when Henrik Lundqvist has gotten a bit of a case of the yips in the playoffs. And if that happens, then, for sure, I think they're done. But I just have a feel for Pittsburgh here. I just think that, that the way they play, they remind me, that actually Pittsburgh reminds me a lot of the team that won in 2008, right down to the, fact that they made a coaching change at the middle of the season. And then both teams went on this wicked run. And, I could see maybe Pittsburgh, drawing on that a little bit and maybe replicating that.
Yeah, I actually have Pittsburgh going to the final in my bracket. And a couple of the reasons, I think they've been so different under Mike Sullivan than they were under Mike Johnston. They're playing a lot more up-tempo. Guys know their roles better. And, Crosby and Letang obviously leading the way in that respect. They're one of the best possession teams in the NHL. The Rangers are not a good possession team. I have this sort of pet theory that, good goaltending can go pretty far, but it depends on your competition and what kind of fear they have. For example, like when Montreal had Carey Price, they could go, a far ways. They could beat like an Ottawa, but when they matched up against Tampa Bay, I would say to myself, did the shooters in Tampa Bay fear Carey Price? Probably not. The triplets, you know, Stamkos, like those guys, they know that they can touch Price if they have to. I kind of feel the same way about the Penguins, like particularly with Crosby. I don't think Crosby fears any goalie on earth. And for that reason, there's a little bit of that armor that gets dented for New York. Not only that, but no Ryan McDonagh to start the series. I mean, that's huge because this defense core, I mean, it has been one of the best in the league for the past couple of years, but not so much this season. And, you know, with McDonagh out, that's just like one big cog that you're missing. And as much as I like Brady Shea, I mean, he's a young kid. I don't expect him to be filling McDonagh's shoes right away, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. So I think this is going to be a long series because New York is, you know, a pretty good club with a lot of good forwards. But I think the Penguins are going to win out.
I think you guys have nailed it. And I do think, you know, the Penguins are just, they're a reborn team under Sullivan. They play such an aggressive attacking style. He seems to have found a way to maximize their strengths. And with that exposed Ranger blue line, I think right now the Rangers are playing Pittsburgh at the worst possible time for them, especially, and not just with McDonagh, but when you're forced to rely more on your Dan Girardi, guys like that. Girardi in particular is a guy to me that's been so exposed this year. If you look at the possession numbers, deeper numbers, him relative to the rest of his team and the competition he's faced, he's been one of the worst defensemen in the NHL. He's not the worst. So I fear for him in this series. I think the Penguins are going to attack him with everything they have. And an interesting X factor in this series is Phil Kessel. He's got 13 goals in 22 career playoff games, or 21, I think. I think it's 22, something like that. He's an underrated playoff performer. And the Penguins have found some kind of magic with Kessel. They finally realize he's better off without Crosby and without Malkin on his own line. That line with Benito and Hagelin has been really good because Kessel gets to be the puck carrier, and that's where he's comfortable. He likes to shoot on that short side, and he seems to have rediscovered the scoring touch. But just one more little X factor that I think is going to help the Penguins in the series. I like them to win in 7 games. As long as someone out of Fleury and Matt Murray is healthy enough to play. If it's Jeff Zatkoff versus Henrik Lundqvist in a 7-game series, or Tristan Jarry, it's pretty tough to pick Pittsburgh in that situation.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you bring up a good point with Kessel and that. I think one of the huge factors in this series and one of the deciding factors is going to be team speed. And, you know, Pittsburgh just has a ton of it. You know, Carl Hagelin can fly, Phil Kessel can fly. Connor Sheary, like, that guy can fly. I mean, they have got some real teams, good team speed, and I think they're going to expose the Rangers defense corps for being a group that doesn't have much of that speed, and I can just see them, you know, blowing by guys to the outside and creating lots of chances that way. So, you talk about the goaltending. I think that's going to be the wild card here. But I think, you know, when it comes to tempo and I think, you know, the playoffs are best and when the games are just chaos and you know, there's just all kinds of things happening. And I think the Pittsburgh Penguins can throw that at the New York Rangers. They can just throw all kinds of chaos and speed and unpredictability at them. And I think it's going to be a huge factor.
All right. How good are those Pittsburgh Checkers, by the way? Sheary and Rust and Kunackle. I've never said Kunackle's name out loud before. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They'd be dynamite, those Checkers. Man, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Cullen, Eric Fair, like all those guys. Bo Bennett, like they're all, yeah, they are all pretty relentless guys. No question.
All right, finally, Washington Capitals versus Philadelphia Flyers. The Capitals kind of coasted into the playoffs after winning the President's Trophy early on in the regular season. The Flyers had to wait till Game 81 to clinch. Is this an ideal first-round matchup for the Capitals, or is it a bit of a nightmare matchup?
Here's what I see happening is Game 1, not really too important what happens if you're a Washington fan, but it's Game 2 that really matters. Because I can see the Flyers winning Game 1, just, you know, keeping that momentum from the regular season. Maybe they win it in overtime or something like that. But if Washington loses Game 2, then I think they're really in trouble. But if the Caps can win that Game 2, then it's like a 5-game series. I think it's just a matter of Washington getting into playoff mode and getting their house in order, realizing this is what they were built to do. This is why they went out and got Justin Williams. This is why they went out and got TJ Oshie. And, like, you know, form that lineup around Alex Ovechkin, because Netzoff has been fantastic. Holtby has been fantastic this year, more so early on when he needed to be. And again, that sort of goes into the coasting. But, you know, the blue line's getting healthy. I think as long as they can take that initial punch in the face from the Flyers, both metaphorically and figuratively, because we are talking about Philadelphia here, you know, I think Philly's a pretty scrappy team, and they got some really great elements. But, I mean, Washington should win this series. So this is, I think early on, this is where they'll show their mettle.
Yeah, this is one for me that's, I don't think it's going to be close. You know, you talk about possession. Well, the Flyers possessed 15 more wins than the Capitals possessed 15 more wins than the Flyers. And they possessed 24 more points. I think, you know, I just, anytime Philadelphia's in the playoffs, I think you got to be concerned. That's just a team and a fan base and a franchise and a culture there that I think, you know, really embraces these kinds of underdog situations.
Totally.
You know, their owner just died. They got a rallying point to play around, you know, like let's go out and win for Ed Snyder, who was, you know, who was one of the most beloved owners in sports and that sort of thing. But I just cannot imagine I don't see an advantage for Philadelphia in any area of the game. Like, there's not one single area of the game where I see, you know, Philadelphia's got a distinct advantage over Washington. You know, I just think Washington's depth and their depth of talent and their goaltending, and I just can't imagine that there's any scenario really where, you know, the Flyers make this even a close series. But, you know, we'll see how it works. But, you know, like I said, Philadelphia, when they get in the playoffs, sometimes, you know, crazy things happen, and they, you know, there's guys that play out of their skin, and we saw it, you know, a few years back when Philadelphia made the final, but I don't see this as being a terribly close series.
The one shot Philly has is to turn this into a mud fight. Like they did against Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. I also noticed that about the Boston Bruins for a couple of years where, you know, when they had that series against Toronto where, you know, the Bruins should have really swept the Leafs. Once the Leafs realized that if they just skated and didn't worry about, you know, evening up physical scores and things like that, the Bruins kind of got in trouble. I feel like Philly's like that too. It's like if you want to play that nasty, chaotic game against Philly, you're really rolling the dice. But I mean, otherwise, Washington should skate.
Yeah, I think that even in that case, I think Washington's far more prepared to play that kind of series this year than they've ever been, ever. Like, I think, you know, like, I look at Washington and I see, a Western Conference team that plays in the Eastern Conference. So, I don't imagine it will be, you know, that would intimidate them that much.
Oh, it's not intimidation, it's just distraction. I don't think you want, you know, Tom Wilson and Michael Latta having really important roles. I don't think you want it to be a special teams battle, because that's, even if Washington has better special teams, you're really kind of leaving things up to chance where, you know, shifts are getting weird. Ovechkin may not be on the ice all the time you want him to be. Like, you don't want to leave that stuff to chance. And I think that's where Philly's really smart, where they're like, come to the dark side. And and just let's just have a nasty series where we throw stuff at each other and a lot of people bleed.
And then for that reason, I think that the big winner of this series is whoever's going to play Washington in the second round, because I do think Washington wins it. I think the Caps are the most complete team in the NHL, but I think it's going to be very annoying to play the series. It's going to take a lot out of them, just because the Flyers, they played like a wounded animal down the stretch, angry and hungry and looked like they weren't going to make the playoffs. They found a way to rally. And if I'm Dave Axel, if I'm the Flyers, I say, okay, Wayne Simmonds, Braden Schenn, you guys have been amazing down the stretch, scoring goals, bludgeoning guys in forecheck. I'm going to send you after John Carlson and Brooks Orpik over and over and over, hammer them in the corner. Both guys, Orpik and Carlson, had some injury problems this year, so you're going to batter and bruise them, try and wear down the team. I think the Capitals are too good to lose the series, but I think it's going to hurt. They're going to leave the series black and blue.
Well, all right, that'll do it. We'll reconvene and do this again in, what, 2 weeks, give or take, whenever the second round starts. Until then, get all your playoff news at THN.com. See you next time.